Thank you, Lord. Impact, and we celebrate the amazing worship ministry of this church. While we're clapping, can we celebrate everybody serving up there, Neri, and everybody. What a church, what a God, what a people, amen. I'm going to teach you something. What a God, what a church. What a God, what a church. What a people, amen. Welcome to Impact Church, where God lives. Amen. So good to see you in the house of God. Today is what we call anointing service. Amen. As you walk through those doors, the ushers gave you this little vial here, and there's an anointing in here. There's oil in here. Nothing spooky, nothing crazy. We're going to explain what this means. This is a symbol of what God is going to do in this service. Amen. Awesome. Today is the message finale of our Visions and Goals series. And on the first Sunday, we talked about passions, passions, passions. Second Sunday, we talked about encounters, encounters, encounters. Last week, we didn't come here, but we sent out a video. We talked about process, process, process. How many people are blessed by process, process, process? Amen. But today, we're going to close this thing up, and we're talking about anointings, anointings, anointings. Somebody shout, yes, Lord. Now, today is also the end of our 21 days of fasting and prayer. Amen. I lost some weight. I'm excited, but I'm a little sad too. Amen. But this week was tough. Can your pastor just tell the truth? This week was so tough fasting, I thought I had malaria. But I finished. Come on, somebody. Amen. And I wrote a list of all the things that I'm going to be indulging in this week. Amen. But I finished. Amen. And by the way, we have a singles event coming up. Single people, don't forget. Come on, let's put our hands together. March 25th is going to be incredible. And by the way, next week we're beginning a brand new message series titled Winning in Relationships. Winning in Relationships. Somebody say, wow. Say it backwards. Amen. Winning in Relationships. And it's going to be Winning in Relationships on Super Bowl Sunday. So, amen. But I want to encourage you to invite some couples, invite some people who don't know Jesus. February is an evangelistic month at Impact Church. How many people know we're not here to play church? We're here to see souls saved, healed, and delivered. Amen. So I want you to think of someone who's never been to church. Pastor Michelle and myself are going to stand on this stage. We're going to talk about the five languages of an apology. Woo! And then on second Sunday, we're going to talk about winning in your single life. Third Sunday, we're going to do a marriage panel. We're going to bring a few couples on this stage, and we're just going to ask them questions. Amen. And then on week four, we're going to talk about winning in parenting. Amen. How many people know we are raising world changers here at Impact Church? Hallelujah. But today, we're talking about anointings, anointings, anointings. Before we go there, just one other detail. As you know, we are in growth campaign, and we're believing God for $30,000. We are almost there. So nice somebody. If they haven't given yet, tell them we need five people to give $1,000, and we have this giving campaign down. Amen. And we're investing into the preaching of the gospel. Somebody say amen. Anointings, anointings, anointings. Anointings, anointings, anointings. One time I was driving, going to a meeting, and I noticed that my gas tank was on E, but I was late for my appointment. So I either had to stop at the gas station and be even more late, or because I'm a man of God, I decided to just drive and pray. How many people know being spiritual sometimes can be interesting? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you don't have to use your brain anymore. Come on, Christians. So I decided to just drive that thing and pray. And then the car started shaking in the tunnel. And I said, oh God, Jesus, if you love me, don't let this thing die. Died right there. I said, Jesus, you don't love me? I heard God say, I love you, but you need gas. Impact, and I tell you something, a vision without the anointing is like a Lamborghini without gas. A vision without the anointing is like a car, a fast car, that has no gas. Yes, you have the vision. You've got the imagery that God has given you. You know where you're going. But you need some gas. Turn to somebody and just tell them, you need some gas. A vision without the anointing is the definition of frustration. A vision without the anointing is the definition of frustration. Because you have the vision. Maybe you even have the team. Maybe you even have the money for it. But you have no gas. You can't go far. There's a lot of people that are frustrated today, not because they don't have a great vision, but because there's no gas, there's no energy. There are a lot of people today that are going through anxiety and depression. And I understand clinical anxiety and clinical depression. But I believe that a lot of what we call anxiety and depression is just the fact that you have a great vision, but you don't have the gas. You don't have what it takes to make it happen. And it's frustrating. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Your heart is sick. That's why you have people that are receiving medication and it doesn't work, because it's not their body or their mind that's sick. It's their heart that is sick. So we need the anointing of God. Somebody shout the anointing. Can I tell you a few more cool things here? A vision without the anointing is like having a 4th of July and you have the grill on the steaks, but you don't have the propane. Has that ever happened to you? You're ready to fry them steaks, grill them steaks, and you're ready. Company's there, people are there, and it's not starting up. And then you realize, oh my God, I didn't refill this thing. It's the definition of frustration. Let me tell you a few more fun things here. This happens to my kids all the time. A vision without the anointing is like receiving a brand new toy on Christmas Day and there's no batteries in it. You're ready to go. Dick and Adria resonated with that one. A vision without the anointing is like having the best burger in the world, but the fries ran out. Okay. Maybe that's just me. For me, right? A vision without the anointing is like having that good turkey on Thanksgiving Day, but they ran out of gravy. No, maybe it's just an African thing. But here we go. Vision without the anointing is the definition of frustration. Please write this down. Vision without the anointing is like having a dull axe. Having a dull axe. You work longer, but don't have a lot of results. That's how some people feel in this place. It's not that you're lazy. You're working hard. But the anointing is missing. Matter of fact, when you have the anointing, you work less and you get more results. It's smart work. It's smart to have the anointing of God. You work less and you get more results for your time. We need the anointing of God. So very quickly, Impact, I want to give you three things that the anointing brings in your life. How many people are ready? And then we're going to pray. We're going to anoint you. We're going to send you out this place with some gas inside of you. Come on, somebody. How many people are ready to conquer 2019? You need the anointing of God. Come on, I declare that in 2019, you're not going to be depressed. Come on, if you're going to clap, let's do it well. I declare that in 2019, you're going all the way in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, 2019 is my year. Hallelujah. Here we go, number one. Please write this down. The anointing of God produces impartation of what you lack. The anointing of God produces impartation of what you lack. Let's explore this word here, impartation. is to receive the grace and abilities that someone else has. Impartation is to receive the grace and abilities that someone else has. Romans chapter 1 verse 11. I long to see you so I may impart to you some spiritual gift and make you strong. This is Paul speaking. He says, I long to see you. I can't wait to see you because I've got some gifts in me that I want to impart in you. I want you to know that the anointing of God is transferable. I want you to know that the anointing of God can be duplicated. You can receive something that somebody else has. Paul is saying, I've got some gifts in me. Do you have sick people at your home and you don't have the gift of healing? I've got the gift of healing. I've got the gift for business. I have all these things inside of me that I want to lay hands on you so I can impart in you. The anointing of God imparts in you things that you lack. There are some things right now that you don't have that you need that somebody else has. And you can receive by way of the anointing. Somebody say amen. 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 13 to 14. 2 Kings 2, 13 to 14. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak. This is a garment that Elijah used to wear. When he was ascending to heaven, he threw it down. According to Isaiah chapter 61, the Bible says, for the spirit of heaviness, I will give you a garment of what? Of praise. So your garment, the cloak, represents a spirit, your anointing. So Elisha picked up Elijah's spirit. Elisha picked up Elijah's anointing. That's an impartation. Elisha, go back, please. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Keep going. He took the cloak. In other words, he took the anointing that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Now, Elisha saw Elijah perform some great miracles. So if you pick up an anointing, you better test it and make sure this thing works. So Elisha was smart. He went to the Jordan. And he took the cloak, he took the anointing, he said, I want to test this thing and make sure it works. Let's keep reading. It says, where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked when he struck the water. It divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Could it be that the reason you've not crossed over is you don't have the anointing that you need that somebody else has? He took the anointing. Struck the water, and he what? Crossed over. Took the anointing, took the cloak. Struck the water, and he what? Crossed over. Somebody shall cross over. Somebody shall cross over. I declare in the name of Jesus that 2019 is the year that you're going to cross over. I declare that one more time in the name of Jesus, because some of us have been stuck in one place. The devil has held us back. But I declare in the name of Jesus that as we anoint you today, you're going to receive the anointing that's going to cause you to cross over. Hallelujah. But he received the anointing from Elijah. And he took that anointing and then he crossed over. The anointing of God brings impartation for something you lack. The anointing of God brings impartation for something you lack. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Luke chapter 1, 13. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. Somebody shout John. Now let's go to verse 17. Now here's what they're saying about John. John. He will be a man with the spirit and power of who? Woo! John will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. In other words, not only Elisha walked in the anointing of Elijah, but John the Baptist, who was sent on earth to prepare the way for the Messiah, needed an anointing. And the Bible says, John will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. Come on, how many people are ready for the anointing of God to be imparted in them in the name of Jesus? John will walk in the spirit and power of Elijah. The anointings are imparted on you to give you something that you lack. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. He will cause those who are rebellious to accept wisdom, to accept the wisdom of the godly. There we go. He needed that anointing. I declare in the name of Jesus that as we anoint you today, there's going to be some impartation that's going to come on you in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. When I was 16 years old, I led worship for a man of God called Reinhard Bonnke. He's a healing evangelist. I kid you not, there was 500,000 people on the crusade grounds. People were jumping out of wheelchairs. Witch doctors were surrendering their voodoo. All kinds of miracles. 16 years old, I was escorted by police night after night. These nights, this crusade went for 14 days, 2 weeks. And I would get on that stage and I would stand back there behind Brother Bonnke, and I would see him walk on that stage and he would say, "Hallelujah!" And people would shake with the power of God. Night after night, I was baptized in this anointing. And on the final day, he hosted a dinner at a hotel. And my father was the chairman of that crusade, and he said, "Bring Zenza with you." Somebody say hallelujah. Next time you go to see a prophet, bring your children with you, somebody. He said, "Bring Zenza with you." And right there at the dinner, at the hotel, Reinhard Bonnke laid hands on my father. It was the first time I saw my father knocked out. I was so scared, I thought he died. The power of God. And then he said, "You, come here." I said, "Oh my God, I wanted to run out." But he put his hands on me and anointed me. And literally, I felt like he put anointing on me, but he had no anointing on him. He just laid hands on me. But I had this sensation like someone was putting on. Matter of fact, I felt like it was running over my face. I went to the bathroom and there was nothing. The presence of God. Somebody say amen. And I believe that Brother Bonnke has a strong anointing for healing, but he also has a strong anointing for crowds. How many people know crowds is an anointing? After that, I started a conference in my nation, a youth conference. And the crowds, young people started coming. That thing became the largest youth conference in the nation. You missed a good place to put your hands together and celebrate Jesus. I came to Boston, became homeless at one point, and then God gave me a vision to start a night of worship. And God told me there's going to be thousands. And people told me, "Zenzo, that happens in Texas and California, not in Boston." We started that night of worship. We saw tens of thousands of people come out. You missed another good place to put your hands. What happened? The anointing on Brother Bonnke fell on the 16-year-old. "You shall have a son, his name will be John, and he will move in the spirit and power of Elijah." Hallelujah. Elisha receives. There is no record of Elisha prophesying before this time. There is no record of any miracle before this time. He picks up the anointing. He hits the water and the water is parted and he crosses over. Today you're receiving an impartation in the name of Jesus. I said today you're receiving an impartation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The grace of God upon you in Jesus' name. I declare that that depression is no longer going to chase you in Jesus' name. I declare that anxiety is going in the name of Jesus. High blood pressure is not part of your life. Fibromyalgia is not part of your life. And I declare that your children are coming back to the house of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because of the impartation of the anointing of God. Somebody say amen. I was talking to my son here, and he said to me, he loves basketball. And he had the opportunity, the favor of God on this boy, he had the opportunity to train with Jason Tatum last year from the Celtics. And he said, Dad, do you know why Jason plays like Kobe? I said, no, tell me why. He said, because Jason Tatum spent some time with Kobe and they were practicing together and Kobe trained him. That's why he plays just like Kobe. I said, son, that's Bible. Wow. I said, Kobe released an impartation on Jason Tatum. How does this rookie come and do the kind of stuff he's doing? No any other rookie has ever done before. He's not doing it in his own strength. That's the power of an impartation. You're working too hard. Hallelujah. Oprah Winfrey came on the scene and she was trained by a man called Phil Donahue. Phil Donahue was the first person to do talk show in America with a live audience. And his show was running for 29 years. She trained with him. And then her ministry, but more so her show exploded to the world. Those principles work even outside the church because it's a biblical principle. Yeah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Warren Buffett, arguably the richest person in the world, trained with a guy called Benjamin Graham. Learned so many things from him. Now he's a business guru. Somebody would think he just did this thing by himself. No. He was trained by somebody. Somebody say amen. Well, let's go to number two, save time. The anointing of God produces intensification of what you already have. The anointing of God produces intensification of what you already have. Somebody say intensification. One more time, intensification. Here's the word. The grace and abilities you already have are increased exponentially. What's intensification? The grace and abilities that you already have are increased exponentially. Impact, let me tell you a secret here. Some of you have the grace to do business. Some of us have the grace to do different things. Here's the problem. The grace you have is on a kindergarten level. You have the grace. You can do some business. You've started some company, but it's on a kindergarten level. Only a few people in your neighborhood show up. It's as if you're hidden. You can sing, but you are on an elementary level. Pastor Femme, I remember when I started leading worship in this city, people would tell me, oh, son, that was cute. That was so cute. We enjoyed the worship. That was cute. So, okay. I went back to pray because I needed intensification. And then those same people would say, hey, son, that was nice. That was kind of nice. It came from cute to nice. I said, we're intensifying a little bit. Anthony, I remember the time when I would lead worship. They wouldn't say that was cute or nice. They couldn't even say a word to me. They waved at me and walked away because they were wiping tears. Why? The anointing was intensifying. I kid you not, they couldn't even talk to me. They look at me as if they were running away from me. They would pack their bags and leave. And then I remember a time, worship team, I remember a time when I would sit on the piano before singing a word. I would just play and people would fall under the power of God and people would be healed. Come on, somebody, hallelujah. What happened? The anointing was intensifying. And then I remember a time when I would walk into these rooms to pray, to lead worship or to preach. I remember a time when somebody told me, as a guest speaker, LJ, they told me, man, as soon as you walked in that room, something shifted. Yes. something shifted. Come on, young people, that's the kind of fasting and prayer I'm calling for you to do. You young preachers, you got to hide yourself in the presence of God so you can intensify what you have. I declare that as we anoint you today in the name of Jesus, there's going to be an intensification in Jesus' name. Intensification in your business in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, when Steve Jobs went back to Apple, Microsoft was taking over. Do you remember those days? All he had was the Mac. And Bill Gates was killing it. Was killing it. And Steve Jobs was just in the kindergarten level. He was in an elementary level. Many people don't know this, but Steve Jobs started exchanging knowledge with Bill Gates. Bill Gates is a very generous man. I think in many ways, Bill Gates knew that Steve Jobs was actually better than him. It was prepared for the next generation. You have to be generous when God anoints you. Matter of fact, Microsoft started providing some chips or something like that. I'm not a technical guy, but they started sharing knowledge. I think they exchanged some softwares. Ben is a techie guy. I hope you affirm what I'm saying. I did my study. But they started hanging out, and somehow it's as if what Bill Gates had started rubbing off on Steve Jobs. It started to intensify. And intensify from the Mac to the MacBook Pro to the iPhone to the iPods. It started to intensify and intensify. And now Steve Jobs took over the world. Even in his death, his products are going to the end of the world. Why? Intensification. You've got it. You just needed to be intensified. You've got the business knowledge. You just needed to be intensified. And then what happened? What happened is that Steve Jobs ended up overtaking Bill Gates. I declare that in 2019, you're going to overtake in the name of Jesus. I declare that in 2019, you're going to overtake in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody needs to celebrate right here in the name of Jesus. The race is not given to the swift. The swift. That's what the anointing of God does. Somebody say amen. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 2. So amazing. Acts chapter 2 verse 47. It says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord what? The Lord what? Added. Here's what happened. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 verse 1, right? It was followed by addition. Somebody say addition. Woo! Now watch what happens. Let's go to Acts chapter 6 verse 1. It says, as the believers, what? Oh, somebody shout this. As the believers, what? It changed and transitioned from addition to multiplication. It intensified. Many people think the outpouring of the Holy Spirit only happened in Acts chapter 2. No, it happened in Acts chapter 2, happened in Acts chapter 4, happened in Acts chapter 8, happened in Acts chapter 10, and it happened in Acts chapter 19. And after all those outpourings of the Holy Spirit, it intensified. The miraculous began to happen. After Acts chapter 2, they were preaching the gospel with power. Peter, who was shy, could not make sense. He was a goofy kind of guy hanging around Jesus. All of a sudden, he could articulate the gospel and there were salvations, but the miraculous had not been released yet. From addition to rapidly multiply. Let's go to Acts chapter 6 verse 7. It says, then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples what? Hey! It transitioned from addition to multiplication to multiplied greatly. I declare over you in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing intensify in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. I told you about these nights I used to host, and I remember when we used to have 50 people worshiping in a house. And I used to call my mother and say, Mom, the whole world was there. I said, Mom, the whole world was there.
We had Spanish people. We had Italian people. Mom, we even had Haitians over there. We even had Brazilians over there.
And then I remember when we started having about 100 people or so, I was like, oh my God, we're taking over the world with worship. And then I remember when we had 300 people there, I was like, Jesus, Jehovah. And then I remember when we broke 1,000. I remember when 1,002 people showed up. I was celebrating Pastor Femi because now I could tell my parents we had thousands of people there. We had thousands. Oh, thousands. How many thousands? Oh, Dad, it was thousands there. So I tell you, it's thousands. And then I remember when we booked a place at MIT that sat 2,000 people and 3,000 showed up. And there was 1,000 people outside and they didn't leave. We sent worship leaders with acoustic guitars out in the lawn and they were worshiping. And then I remember when I was believing God, from 2,000, I said, we need to go to 4,000. And an Irish man called Danny McCarthy, who sits on my board, says, Zenzo, you have a small dream. I'm going to quit your board if you don't take this thing higher. I said, man, I'm believing God for 4,000. How much higher are you talking about? He says, Zenzo, there's an arena at Boston University, Boston College, I believe. It seats 8,000 people. It's called the Agganis Arena. 8,000 people. I said, 8,000 people. I wanted to show like I had faith. So I said, yes, I believe God. I believe God, Danny. I believe God. I didn't want him to think I was a wimp. So I said, I believe with you. Inside, I was scared. Long story short, people came out. We packed that place with 8,000 people. We sent hundreds home. We sent hundreds home. Somebody say amen. Amen. In the course of this season, I met a man of God called Lou Engel, who was doing meetings at the mall in Washington, D.C. with 500,000 people, 500,000 young people. And Lou Engel laid hands on me in Lowell. And an intensification came. Receive the intensification in Jesus' name. In business, in the name of Jesus. In your parenting, in the name of Jesus. The anointing of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. Let an outpour fall down in the name of Jesus. Some of you have been anointed before, but let a second anointing, a third anointing, a fourth anointing fall on you in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Here's the last one. The anointing of God produces realization of something you already have but are not aware of. The anointing of God produces realization of something you already have but are not aware of. Realization. God opens your eyes to see the full capacity of what the grace and abilities you have can produce. I'll say that again. God opens your eyes to see the full capacity of what the grace and abilities you have can produce. Some of us are in this place and you're sitting on a gold mine. Amen. You are sitting on a gold mine, but your eyes are close to it. You don't even know what you have. What you have can change the world. What you have can produce millions upon millions of dollars to finance you, to finance hospitals, to finance children that need it, to build hospitals, and to leave it for your kids, kids, and kids. What you have can produce some great things, but your eyes are not open to it. I declare that as we anoint you today, God will open your eyes so that you can realize the power of what you have. In the name of Jesus. I was walking around this city as a musician, homeless, and I was trying to learn more music. I wanted to go to Berklee College of Music, and God closed the door. And I remember saying to myself, my dreams are over because I can't go to Berklee College of Music. And then God told me, son, you don't know what you have. I'm calling you to start an out of worship, and the whole world is going to come to you. Don't despise what you have. Yes. My eyes were open to what God had already given me, but I had no realization that God could do something powerful with it. Somebody say amen. Exodus chapter 4 from verse 1 to 3. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? What is in your hand? Moses is thinking, God, give me something. Give me something. I need to go to the people. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to think you sent me. God, give me something. God said, what do you have in your hands? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it down to the ground. So he cast it to the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. For 40 years, he's walking with this stick and he has no idea that it can perform miracles. For 40 years, he's walking around with this thing. He thinks it's just a stick, but it's a miracle worker. I pray and I declare in the name of Jesus that God is going to cause you to realize that what you have is a miracle worker. Amen. Don't despise it. Yes. Don't despise it. 14 million gallons of water. The children of Israel were fed because of this stick. He hit the stick with the rock. He hit the stick on the rock and it produced 14 million gallons of water to feed an entire nation. You don't know what you have. Let me say it this way. You don't know what you have. Turn to somebody and tell them, you don't know what I have. You don't know what I have. What I have can change the world. Come on. What I have can produce for my family. What I have can feed my family and feed an entire nation. What I have can get me on TV. What I have can do some great things. I came to provoke you in this place that God has already given you what you need. You already have it on the inside of you. I came to provoke you today. You already have it. Come on, somebody say, I got it. Come on, somebody say, I have it. Somebody say, I have it. Come on, I company. Some of you keep working for other people. God has a company inside of you. 2019 is the year to get that company out of your belly in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I got it. Somebody say, I have it. Let me give you one more scripture. You can please stand. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 2. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing. This is a widow. Her husband is dead. And the debtors have come to pick her children. She goes to the prophet and she's crying out, please do something for me, prophet. They've come to take my children. We're in trouble. She's thinking the prophet is going to say, here you go. Here's money. Here you go. Here's something. Because that's what some of us are thinking. And the prophet said, what do you have in the house? I'm here to challenge you. You have something in your house right now. You have something inside of you right now that can do the job. You have it right now. Somebody shout right now. Come on. I feel God in this place. You have something right now. Believe it. You have something right now. It doesn't matter what somebody say to you. You have something right now. And she said, your maidservant has nothing. That's what some of us say. Your maidservant has nothing but just a jar of oil. I'm here to tell you, I serve a God who can do much with just a jar of oil. I serve a God who can do miracles with just a jar of oil. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I got to stop here. We're out of time. Please take out your anointing. Take out your anointing. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Just pour some on yourself. Pour some on your hand. And this is a symbol. This is nothing spooky about this. Nothing crazy about this. Let's go to Psalm 89, verse 20. Nothing spooky about this. Please read this with me. I have found my servant David. I have anointed him with holy oil. That's what we're doing here. This is a symbol that you're being anointed with holy oil. I'm going to pray, but this is a point of contact. Nothing crazy, nothing spooky. And here's what the anointing does. It says, I will steady him with my hand, with my power, with my powerful arm, I will make him strong. His enemies will not defeat him, nor will the wicked overpower you. I declare that over you because of the anointing in 2019. Anybody who's against you, God's going to deal with them in Jesus' name. God's going to vindicate you. God is your justice. It says, I'll beat down his adversaries before him and destroy those who hate him. My faithfulness and unfailing love will be with him, and my authority will grow. And by my authority, he will grow in power. I declare that you will grow in power in 2019 in the name of Jesus. Grow in your businesses. Grow in every area of your life in Jesus' name. I will extend his rule over the sea, his dominion over the rivers. I declare that 2019 is your season and your year of expansion and extension in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. And I will call out, and he will call out to me, you're my father and my God and the rock of my salvation. I will make him my firstborn son and the mightiest king on earth. Firstborn son, that's inheritance. That means everything that belongs to God belongs to you. So I declare prosperity over you in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. I will preserve an heir for him. His throne will be as endless as the days of heaven. I declare that upon your children, they're blessed. Your next generation is blessed. Your children are untouchable by the works of the enemy in Jesus' name. I declare that your children will have favor in the name of Jesus. I declare that the grace of God is coming upon you and the next generation in the name of Jesus. Somebody just begin to shout in this place and receive the anointing of God. Come on, you already have what it takes. Somebody receive the grace of God. Now just anoint yourself. Anoint yourself. I declare, I pray over that oil now in Jesus' name. I declare that you're anointed. I declare that you shall live and not die.
Yes.
I declare in the name of Jesus that right now there's an anointing that's being imparted in you. I declare every grace that's in me come upon you now in Jesus' name. Right now I declare intensification in Jesus' name. Everything that's on a kindergarten level, I pray, let it increase exponentially now in Jesus' name. And I declare realization in Jesus' name. That what you have is not just an empty rod. What you have is a miracle too. In Jesus' name, I pray. In Jesus' name, I pray. Somebody shout amen. Just shout. Just shout in that music. Just shout in that music. Just shout in the music. Just shout in that music. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Pastor Femi. God, I intensification in Jesus' name. Intensification in Jesus' name. Bobby, intensification in Jesus' name. Intensification in Jesus' name. Janelle, come on. Intensification in the name of Jesus. Anthony, come on. Intensification in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody shout in this place. LJ, come on, come on, come on. Intensification, son, in Jesus' name. Jalen, come on. Wes, come on. Come on, come on. Intensification in the name of Jesus. Crystal, come on. Intensification in the name of Jesus. The anointing will intensify in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jerry, come on. Intensification, Jen, intensification in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Sister Kathia, please come. Intensification in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody receive it in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. We'll be right back.